Praise the Lord. Well, you know, on Wednesday night, I just like to talk to you on a subject that you can use both in the spiritual arena and the natural arena. You know, sometimes people want something, they want to be a new revelation. And my dad said, there's not any new revelation unless the Holy Spirit gives you one. Quit trying to find it, because if you do, the devil will give you one and it may not be the right one. Now, I didn't say that. Kenneth Hagin said that, but the other Kenneth Hagin. Okay, so I want to talk about staying power. I want to talk about what it means to learn how to stay in your place and not move after every opportunity that comes down the road. Some people are always on the move, never staying anywhere long enough to really reap any harvest on anything, both spiritually and naturally. If you've been around church as long as I have, you've seen people come and go. And right here in this church, I see people come and go and then come back and then go again. I don't know why, but that's happening. You know, if you want to win in life, you have to develop some ability to stay put. Now, the enemy, he'll bring all kinds of things to you to try to get you off course. You know, he'll in the church, and I guess he does this in the job and that natural too. He in the church, he tries to get conflict going between different groups and different people. I don't know if y'all ever been around a church where that got in happened. I have. In fact, when I was a kid, now, Dad, he pastored churches, about three of them, but he left the last church in the middle of my third grade year. But in between times, we would travel. He was a traveling minister and travel and preach at churches. We'd go to some churches, and you would notice that this group, and they'd have two sections, this section, an aisle in the middle, you know, a little small church, smaller churches. Everybody thinks he always preached to big crowds. No, he didn't. That was only in the last recent years. But, and so I remember Dad asked the pastor about it, because we always, back in those days, they had a few motels, not many of those even, didn't have no hotels. If you were the evangelist, you stayed with the pastor. And if there were kids, then if it's boys, and if there's girls, I mean, like my sister, and they got to stay in the parsonage, and us guys, they throw a mattress down out in the church, and we'd sleep in the church. Done sleeping many of them. There ain't nothing more scarier than a church in the middle of the night. Anybody ever been in a church in the middle of the night? There are creaks and pops. Doors even slam. I'm serious. But anyway, after service, we would go over to the parsonage. And because back in those days, the parsonage sat right next to the church. I'll tell you what, when Dad was pastoring, I mean, we're getting ready for church, and people knock on the door. We thought we'd come early tonight, Brother Hagin, and we'd just come and visit with you a little bit before service. We're trying to get ready ourselves to go to church. They're knocking on. I'm serious as I can be. Because we didn't, back in those days, we didn't start our Wednesday night or Sunday night service till 7:45, because the majority of the people were farmers, and they had chores to take care of, cows to milk and chores to take care of before they could come to church. I sure like that though, man. We had the best milk that you could, they bring him a big old jar. Every time they come to town, they bring a big jar of milk. It would come by the parsonage. It'd have cream on it that thick. Anybody know why I have a big jar, round jar? And then we never bought eggs. We never bought ham or bacon. That was, man, that was nice living in that. That was especially good during the wartime because, man, groceries were scarce during World War II. Some of you don't know this, but in order to buy stuff at the grocery store, you had a ration book with ration stamps in it. If you didn't have a stamp for that particular product, you couldn't get it. Anybody old enough to know about that? I know Melvin is back there, but that's the way it was. But man, we always had good food. And man, during the spring and the summer, we always had fresh vegetables because every one of them farmers, they had a garden up by their house. And man, that was nice, you know. But we'd go over there and sometimes visiting people, and they'd be people talking, and the ministers would be talking about one another. And so Dad happened to ask the pastor, he said, "Well, I noticed the same group of people sit on this side and on this side, and I noticed that they don't ever go across the aisle and talk to one another." And he said, "That's a family feud." Said, "This is over, these people over here and over here." And if you, in the small churches back in that day, if you stayed there long enough, everybody in the church was either kin through blood or marriage. Any of y'all come from small church like that? You know, how many of you know what I'm talking about? I remember that church in Farmersville, and especially that last one he pastored in Van, you know. And so people have conflicts. You need to try to get along, but if you're in the job and there's conflicts there, start taking the authority over the devil. He's the one causing it anyway. Then many people, they don't get promoted and they leave. Or they audition for the choir, or they try to volunteer for one area and they don't get in that area, they get mad and leave the church. You know, the devil uses anything he can to get you messed up in the natural and in the spiritual, because he wants to kill, steal, and destroy. You know, and some people are always looking for a better opportunity. Well, sometimes a better opportunity is not a good opportunity. Now, Abigail Van Buren. Anybody know who Abigail Van Buren was? Let me see your hand if you do. If you're young, you don't know who she is. She wrote a newspaper column called Dear Abby, and people would write in and she'd give them answers. And so she said this one time, "Maturity is the ability to stick with a job until it's finished." And then John Mason said in his book, "Let Go of Whatever Makes You Stop," "The power to hold on in spite of everything, to endure, this is the winner's quality," or I call it the winning attitude. "No, staying in your place is one of the keys to being successful both naturally and spiritually." You know? When Dad said we're going to start a Bible school, and he looked at me and said, "Do it." Well, I was committed, and Lynette and I were committed to it, and we were going to make Rhema go no matter what. That's the kind of attitude. I mean, I told her, I said, "If we have to sell everything we own, we're going to make Rhema go." Well, it's been here for 50 years, so I guess it's still going good. But you got to be committed to something. And that means you stay with it. Come whatever happens, you stay with it. You know, you got to be committed to it. So let's talk about how to stand firm in your place. Actually, we got to look at the value of staying in place. Now, in Exodus 2, 11 through 15, in the NLT, it says, when Moses had grown up, of course, see, Moses got taken into Pharaoh's daughter and was raised in the castle and so forth and so on. He went out when he grew up. He went out among the Hebrews and he saw that they had were forced to work. And during his visit, he saw an Egyptian beating one of his fellow Hebrews. After looking in all directions to make sure no one is watching, Moses killed the Egyptian and hid the body in the sand. The next day, when Moses went out to visit his people again, he saw two Hebrew men fighting. He said, "Why are you beating up on your friend?" Moses said to one who had started to fight. The man replied, "Who appointed you to be our prince and judge? Are you going to kill me as you killed that Egyptian yesterday?" Then Moses was afraid, thinking everyone knows this. And sure enough, Pharaoh heard of what had happened, and he tried to kill Moses. Moses fled from Pharaoh and went to live in the land of Midian. When he arrived there, he sat down beside a well. Now, Moses was put in place in Pharaoh's house, I believe, to be the one to deliver the Egyptians. But you can see it was 40 years later that he was able to be the leader. Actually, he got afraid. He didn't rely on God and he ran away. It took him 40 years to learn to stay in his place. When he did come back, he stood up to Pharaoh. He didn't run from him. And, you know, life is a process of getting ready to do what we're supposed to do and then stay in that place long enough to get the job done. Now, everybody said, "Well, you know, you're talking about spiritual." No, spiritual things has got to do with it, but natural things too. You know, you have natural talents and natural abilities, and that's where you need to learn to put yourself to work at. I see too many people trying to get into areas that they're not qualified to get in the first place, and they don't make a success of it. You know, if you're not a talker and not a person that likes to work with people, don't get into sales. I've seen a lot of people try to get into real estate and they didn't make it. They just didn't have what they needed to do, be in that area. You know, I mean, there's a lot of people who would like to be, they want to be preachers, and actually you need to be called to be in the ministry. Now, everybody's in the ministry that's a Christian because you're all supposed to be working for the kingdom of God, but then there are different positions and different levels and different things, just like they are in any company. Different levels, different positions, but all of them working together get the job accomplished. So many times people don't bring the natural and realize the natural and the supernatural work together. The things that make you successful in the natural world are the same things that make you successful in the spiritual world. The things that make you successful in the spiritual world are the things that, same thing that makes you successful in the natural world. We're always talking about you just got to, you know, go to church whether you feel like it. Well, you go to work whether you feel like it. No work, no pay. Hello. Now, let's look at another incident I want to talk about for just a moment before I get to some other things. At David and his mighty men, at 2 Samuel 23:8 in the NLT. The names of David's mightiest warriors, the first was Jehoshabim, the Hakamite. Let's call him Josh for short. I do that sometimes when I'm trying to read all these names. I maybe I'm the only one. Anybody else ever do that? Oh, I got some help. Who was the leader of the three? The three mightiest warriors among David's men. He once used his spear to kill 800 enemy warriors in a single battle. Next in the ranking of the three was Eleazar, the son of Dodai, the descendant of Ahoy. Once Eleazar and David stood together against the Philistines while the entire army had fled, he killed Philistines until his hand was too tired to lift a sword, and the Lord gave him a great victory that day. The rest of the army didn't return until it was time to collect the plunder. Next in the rank was Shammah, the son of Agee from Harar. One time, the Philistines gathered in Lehi and attacked the Israelites in a field of lentils. That's a bean field. The Israelite army fled, but Shammah held his ground in the middle of the field and beat back the Philistines, so the Lord brought a great victory about. Here we see all these guys. Josh killed 800. Eleazar fought with David when the rest of everybody left but him and David, and they won the victory. He killed till his arm was too hard, couldn't even lift his sword. And Shammah, he stood there and defended the bean field, and everybody else run off. Now, you know, that's significant, but I want you to notice that they stayed where they were supposed to stay, doing what they were supposed to do. They took their stand and stayed in place, and they didn't allow the enemy to knock them out of place. You know, today, you may not feel like you have a significant position or job, or maybe you don't feel like you have a significant position in volunteering in the church, and it doesn't seem like anybody notices. You ever studied about a diamond? A diamond started out as a piece of coal, and under pressure, it became a diamond. That's the simplest terms that I can use. Anybody ever heard that before? That's the truth. Because when I was in junior high school, I was either going to be a geologist, a weatherman, or a race car driver. Well, I got to be a race car driver for a little bit. Lynette wouldn't let me drive as much as I wanted to. That was when I was junior high school. Then when I was 15, I went to my first dirt track race, and I was hooked on it, and I like it. I like to go watch it. Now I still watch racing. But, you know, if you're going to be successful in racing, you got to endure a whole lot. You're not going to win every time you go out. And you may get knocked out of the race, and it's not even your fault. It's another guy's fault. But you don't leave just because you got knocked out of one race. You take the car back to the garage, and you work all week on it to get it all fixed up and ready to run. And you go back out and go right at it out next week on Friday night or Saturday night. You know, when we had, back in 79 and 80, I had an old street stock. I run it to Tulsa Fairgrounds. Some of you might remember when I had that. Some of you might have been around here long enough to remember that. I don't know. But we came in at the shop. Kurt Poverud helped me and a couple other guys. And we came to the shop down here and cranked up the car and, you know, was warming it up, and all of a sudden it started knocking, and we threw a bearing. And so I said, well, we got another engine sitting over there. So we throwed the thing on the rack. Two guys got up in the top and started taking stuff loose. We put it up the rack. There's some of us underneath taking stuff loose. And we pulled that engine and put in the other engine, and that was at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and we had to be checked in by 5. We rolled through the gate up there at the Tulsa checking in right at 5 o'clock. And man, that was a lot of hard work. But if you're going to be successful, you have to stay with it. You have to stay with it. I don't care what it is. I'll just use that as an illustration. I mean, yeah, we could have said, oh, well, no use us trying. We might well just go up there and watch the rest of them race. I said, I ain't going up there and watch the rest of them race. And when we got a race car, we can fix it. I know one night with Cameron, when he was running in the micro sprint cars out here at Port City, he went out and did hot laps and come in and an engine blew during hot laps. We pulled the car around beside the trailer. I mean, that's hot laps. Right after hot laps is they go through the opening ceremonies, and then they start running the heat, different classes in the heats. And so fast, so happened they had some others running. We pulled that motor and put another motor in it and got him out for his heat. And actually, I think he won the A feature race that night. But you see, that's what you got to do. I'm talking about staying with it. It would have been easy to say, oh, well, the engine blow. We'll just rail it in the trailer. We'll take it home and we'll fix it. Well, we got an engine sitting in the trailer, a brand new engine. All you got to do is take a bunch of wires and a bunch of bolts loose and get it out and put it back in and put it all back together. But I'm talking about staying with it. When the pressure is on, I mean, that's pressure. Hello? Now, I use those two illustrations because I thought they were pretty good ones, but you know what I'm talking about. If you're gonna make a success at anything, you've got to stay with it. You know, you got to stand firm. 1 Corinthians 10:12, NLT says, if you think you're standing strong, be careful not to fall. Man, evidently this verse is saying, hey, I don't care if you think you're standing strong, be sure you don't fall. There's a lot of things that can cause you to that. You know, it's bad to get laid off, but it's really bad if you got laid off because of something that you done. You know? And people are griping, well, I got... they let me go. Well, why did they let you go? Well, I messed up and cost the company $1,000. Well, sure, you're going to get let go. You better learn how to not mess up. I told one guy that one time. He said, this is the third job I've lost in the last year and a half. And I said, well, wait a minute. You're laying it all off onto the companies. I said, there's a pattern here. I said, you better look at yourself. Instead of the company being the problem, you got to be the problem, because this has happened 3 times in the last year and a half. That would be just about 6 months at each place, wouldn't it? Something like that. I don't know. I ain't very good at math, but I just figured. You know, now... here's some things that might cause you to lose a position or not be successful. Ignorance of what is required to maintain. That would be both working in the church and as well as in the natural. Then another one is fear of insecurity. Some people are so afraid that they're going to make a mistake and mess up that they do mess up. Or they're so afraid if they don't know how to do something, well, if I ask about it, they're liable to get rid of me. Well, I tell you what, I'd a whole lot rather somebody ask me about something around here before they done something that would mess everything up, you know. And then there's a lot of people that they want to develop the skills and abilities that will keep them in that position. You know, when I saw, we saw the Netagrid, that the tape, we used to do the radio program by tape, and you had to splice and cut and so forth, and we saw the change coming, and we kept telling this one person, he better learn this, because if he didn't, there wasn't going to be a place for him. Well, he didn't. One of the guys that worked with underneath him, he learned all about all of that. Well, come to the point, I had to tell him, I said, listen, there's nothing you can do. You don't know how to operate in this department anymore. He got upset, but what could I do? Here he is, and this person underneath him has learned all of the techniques for the digital stuff. He refused to do it. I had no choice. Somebody said, well, you could have been nice and kept him on anyway. Well, why do you pay somebody for something that they're not, that they can't do? Hello. In your job, when you see things changing, you need to say, okay, I need to learn about this. With computers coming in and changing and so forth and so on, we had some people that wouldn't learn a new system. If they don't want to go to the training classes to learn a new system, what are you going to do? Hello? Come on now, don't look at me like that. I'm trying to help some of you with your job. In the church, volunteering in the church, when you see things change in the classrooms and in the way you present things. I mean, you know, used to, we didn't have any screens. We didn't have any words on. I mean, if you had words, they were on a piece of paper and they handed it out to you. Or we had a hymnal. Come on. Well, people that didn't learn and to do that, hey, come on. You understand what I'm saying to you? Things change both in the natural and in the spiritual realm, and you need to learn how to work with it. You know, how many of you remember that I would be in here and every other man in here would be in this building tonight with a tie and a suit coat and a suit on? Hey, hello? Choking to death. And you know what? I had a man tell me one time, he said, y'all have lost the Holy Spirit because y'all don't wear ties no more. Didn't he, hon? I'm serious. And he would never come back to any of our meetings because he said we'd lost the Holy Spirit. I politely asked him, well, it might not have been too polite, but anyway, this is, you know. I said, did Peter, James, and John and Jesus wear ties? Did Paul wear a tie? Did they have the Holy Spirit? Isn't it funny how people are? I'm saying all that to say, in both worlds, things change. Ooh, man, I'm running out of time, and I got 8 points to cover. I got 5 minutes. Anybody getting anything out of this? Let me hit these real quick. Keys that help you develop staying power. Realize that God is for you and stand in your position. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can ever be against us? The Message said, with God on our side like this, how can we lose? And then be strong and courageous and stand your ground. Then another key is speak the word over your position. Someone said, well, that's not church. It's, hey, speak the word at work. It'll work for you. You know, release the possibilities of God and declare, I can do this because the Bible says I can. I can do all things in Christ Jesus. Just didn't say one thing or certain things or religious things. It said all things, didn't it? Huh? Number three, listen to the Spirit of God on the inside of you and he'll guide you in your position. You know, John 16:13, we know this. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you in all truth. He will not speak of his own, but tell you what he has heard. He'll tell you about the future. I have prayed about things on the job and been given some answers. Hello? In the natural. You can do this in the natural. Of course, you can do this in the spiritual side too. But a successful person is one who knows how to listen to the voice of God. You know, and I'm going to say something that might not sound right to you, but did you know sometimes God can send somebody your way and they will begin to talk to you, and as they're talking, you get your answer? Someone said, well, that's not God. Well, did you talk to him about the situation? Hello. God can use many different ways to get through to you. I'm going to get one that's key number four here. Obedience is necessary to stay in position. You know, we know what Samuel told Saul when he came back. King Saul came back. He wasn't supposed to bring any of the cattle back, nothing. And he said, obedience is better than sacrifice, and submission is better than offering the fat of rams. They had brought back some of the rams and stuff to give as sacrifice. It says, hey, God said it, you better do it, you know. Sometimes you got to realize if you're the person that's over the top of, he tells you to do something, you better do it. In the army, if the sergeant tells you to do something, you better do it. As a squad leader, and I had men underneath me, if I told them to do something, they better do it. Hello? Now, a lot of times it's coming down. The lieutenant, the company commander told the first sergeant, he told the platoon sergeants. The platoon sergeants told the squad leaders, and the squad leaders go to the men. Sometimes it comes down the line. Sometimes it came up from the battalion commander, from the colonel. Sometimes it come down from the general that was over the fort. So I don't know. But sometimes people have trouble because they don't want to do what they're told to do. Well, I don't like to do that, and I think we ought to do it another way. Hey, you're not the one giving the orders. The first thing that sergeant told us on the first, we rolled in about 2 o'clock in the morning off that bus, and then we come off that bus and at 2 o'clock, Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri, right up the street, right up to there. That sergeant was yelling and screaming and going on, and he finally got everybody supposed to be lined up. They weren't, but and he said, let me tell you boys something right now. There's the right way, the wrong way, and the army way. And as long as you're in Uncle Sam's army, you're going to do it the army way. Don't even think about any other way of doing it. Hello. Well, you know what? I've told people around here before, there's the Rhema way, and that's the way it's going to be done. Now, I had a guy tell me one time, well, they do it this way over at this church, and they do it this way over here. I said, we're not them. This is Rhema, and that's the Rhema way, and that's the way it's going to be done. If you don't want to do it that way, then there's the door. EXIT, don't let it hit your backside as you go out. Somebody said, you actually done that? Ask my wife. Have I done? Wave your hand if I've done that. Hey, in my earlier years, I was a little more strong than I am now. But, you know, Rhema's still here. And a lot of people tried to take it away. But I held my ground. I fought for it. Discipline yourself to meet the requirements. You know. We could go to 1 Corinthians 9:25. All athletes discipline their training. They do this to win the prize that will fade away. Take care of everything. Number six, understand the acceptable behavior required for that position. You know, we could read number seven. I got to go. It's 8:03 already. Take care of business. Do what the position requires. And a little extra. I know a fellow one time, he was talking to him about it. He said he got promoted. He was really excited about it. But he said, you know, they passed over two other people to come to me and promoted me rather than them. And he said, and I asked the man in charge, I asked him why I got promoted. He said, because we have noticed that if a job needs to be finished, you stay till the job is finished and before you go home, and they're watching the clock, and as soon as it hits quitting time, they're out the door. Come on now. All right, one final key. Choose who you run with wisely, or you might say choose your company, choose the people that you. Proverbs 13:20 says, walk with the wise and become wise, associate with fools and get in trouble. I'm over time, but I'm gonna just go ahead. One day, this is a story, a boy was walking with his father on a beach and he saw a man carrying a bucket of crabs. And he noticed it didn't have any lid on it. And he said, asked his dad, why don't the crabs escape? And his father said, well, you see, when one crab tries to crawl out of the bucket, the other crabs grab a hold of him and pull him back down. The truth is, if one person tries to better themselves, there are many people that would try to drag them back down. You know, there are some people that will take you down the wrong road if you listen to them. If you want to win, run with winners. I've just shared some things with you that I think would help you both in both areas of your life to be successful, spiritually and naturally. Father, I thank you tonight. May each of us understand our positions, stay in our positions, and do what it takes to be successful in that position. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody stand. Trust you got something out of this. Part of that comes from me personally. That's the way I approach. That's the way I approach life. You probably know that if you know me very well. If you've been around me a while, you probably know everything I talked about there. That's me. Bill, you've been on me for a while. Is that me? See, I just didn't try to tell you something that I read out of a book. But to be successful, I learned that a long time ago. I learned to watch. I've been successful by watching. You know what? We are at our first payday in the Army back in 1960. That would have been November. I went in the 18th of October 1962, and this would have been November. And in the Army, they paid you the last day every month. You got paid the end of the month. And so we were in the line to get our $62. That's what you made back then. If you made PFC, got one stripe, you got a $10 raise. You got up to $72. I don't know what they make now, but that was 62. And so as they're going through the line, this sergeant was sitting over here, and you signed and they give you your pay. And this sergeant sitting over here, and they ask if you wanted to buy an E-bond, I think they called it. And I noticed everybody that didn't, and I was 23 when I had to go in because I was already be a senior in college. I got drafted. That's how I went and joined. And I noticed everybody didn't buy E-bond. They wrote their name down on that paper. I said, wait a minute. So they asked me, I want an E-bond? Yeah, I want an E-bond. Okay. You know what I found out? Every one of those guys, his name's on there, I noticed that they were continually on KP and guard duty. That's kitchen. That's working in the kitchen. And for you that don't know what it is, and it ain't no fun. Our guard duty. That's going out and standing guard over an empty warehouse, walking around it for 2 hours with a rifle on your shoulder, and you don't even have any shells. I'm serious. But hey, I had been around long enough, and I said, hey, something's going on, because he's taking everybody's name down. So I said, yeah, I want one. I said all that to say, hey, sometimes you can learn some things by just watching. You can learn what not to do and what to do. All right? I trust you enjoyed what we had to say tonight. If you happen to be in this place and you don't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, we want you to know him before you leave tonight. As we're dismissed, if that's you or you need to rededicate your life to God, ladies are here, the men over here, you just come on down here. They'll pray with you. If you need prayer for anything, for any reason whatsoever, you come down here, they'll pray with you, and you won't leave here like you came, in Jesus' name. Amen. Sunday morning, be right here. 10 o'clock, 9 o'clock, School of the Bible. If you want to get involved and get to know people, that's where there are different classes, and that's where you can get involved, and it's a smaller group. And as you get involved there, all of a sudden, this big church becomes a small church, because you look across the building and, oh, I know all those people over there. So at 9 o'clock, that's there. 10 o'clock, regular service. Shake hands with somebody. Tell them, I don't know about you, but I'm going to stay the course till I'm successful. God bless you. If you need prayer Connection team, go find our first-time guests and take them to get there. Thank you for being with us tonight. If you're looking for your church home, like we said, welcome home. Just come on and join us. God bless you. We'll see you Sunday morning. You need prayer for any reason, salvation, rededication, any reason, come to the front now. God bless.